5, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. Man, it is chilly compared to the last time you and I got together, huh? By about 20, 25, well, 20 degrees. Let's call it 20 degrees. It's all this rain. It's all the rain. We got so much that we're going to be dealing with this afternoon. The final matchup, if you will, for the sheriff's race in the city of Richmond. Sheriff Antoinette Irving will be here at 3:35, the first time in years that she has been on this program. And at 5:35, former Colonel Bill Burnett, William Burnett, will be here. He's been here more frequently and more recently. But, you know, we always ask everybody. So we'll chat about it. There's a lot of issues that have to be addressed. There are a lot of people that are concerned about it, including those of us who do not live in the city of Richmond. Because whether you realize it or not, the sheriff's race in the city impacts you. It does. It relates to the safety of the city. It relates to a lot of things that you may or may not be aware of. And hopefully by 6 o'clock or so this evening, you will be aware of them. It is Monday, so of course, 4:35. Carl Carlson's going to be along. Always love chatting with Carl. Lots of serious issues, obviously. Israel said, we've waited long enough. President Trump, as you know, had given the Iranians 60 days. Said, hey, let's make a deal. Loves making deals. He's a deal maker. He's always been a deal. It's the art of the deal, right? So he said, hey, we can make a deal. Supposed to be a gathering starting today in Oman. That's clearly not happening. But it was 60 days. Day 61, Bibi Netanyahu said, I have to protect my people. Am Yisrael Chai. Have I not explained that to you before? I have. It's Hebrew. It means the people of Israel live. We, the Jewish people, will survive. That is ultimately what that means. And it has been placed into the hands and on the shoulders of Bibi Netanyahu for 20-some-odd years. And he's done a great job. I love Bibi. And he said, we're going to have to take out this nuclear operation. What I want you to be aware of, and what I have not heard a lot of over the weekend, are some sort of analysis. I have not really heard a good analysis explaining the geography. Understanding that for Israel to get that deep into Iran, and Israel now essentially controls the airspace, certainly over Tehran, and reaching further and further and further throughout Iran, almost complete. There had to be some cooperation from other Middle East nations. And I want you to be aware of that. I want you to bear that in mind, in fact. Because the people in Jordan are thrilled that Israel took out the Mad Mullah's nuclear operation. The people in Saudi Arabia are thrilled that Israel took out the insane Iranian nuclear operation. In fact, with the exception of a handful of lunatics in the Middle East, and there are lunatics in the Middle East, the vast majority of folks in the Middle East are thrilled that Iran can no longer wipe them off the face of the planet. Bibi Netanyahu also pointed out, rightfully so, hey, Iran consistently talks about the big Satan and the little Satan. Israel's only the little Satan. Just the tiny, teeny little Satan. The big Satan, that's us. Make no mistake, Iran, the leadership of Iran, the demented leadership of Iran, wanted very much to destroy the United States of America. All of that being said, it's a good time right now, with certain exceptions. obviously, you have innocent Israelis who have died as a result of the desperate attacks from Iran. That's clear to, for all to see. Israel, once again, has engaged in precision attacks. There's a great image out there, and I did share it over on Facebook. If you haven't seen it, then by all means, look for The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook, or, yeah, I think it, just on The Jeff Katz Show on Facebook. Take a look for it. Israel took out a single solitary apartment in an apartment building. Just one apartment. Why? Well, because that's where one of the leaders of the regime military operation lived. Took it out. Compare and contrast that with the wholesale devastation we saw in Israel as a result of the Iranian missiles. Israel is doing everything possible. And Prime Minister Netanyahu, I thought, had a passionate speech where he addressed the people of Iran and said, we've got no beef with you. It's with the demented people who are oppressing you. Right? 47 years ago, the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran did away with freedom and liberty, rights for women, education for women. You know, there's been a sizable Jewish population in Iran for millennia. Just so you know, so when Bibi Netanyahu talked about this long-standing relationship between the Jewish people and the people of Iran, he was speaking from the heart. Speaking of the heart. I think it's important. I think it's important to notice that. The other things that definitely need to be addressed are some of the crazy people here in the United States. I watched and listened to and read some comments from Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. To put it mildly, I was nauseated by them. Absolutely nauseated by them. So you and I are going to deal with all of this. I promise you that. We absolutely will be dealing with all of this. But we might be closer to a legitimate change in Iran than we have been in decades. Because you have a generation now, I guess the second generation, that has seen hopes and dreams eliminated as a result of the mad mullahs who have run Iran, who have taken all of the money that's available and poured it into these nuclear weapons programs, sent it to their proxy armies, given it to Gaza, while at the same time people in Iran are starving. And you have to remember something else about the leadership in Iran. These are folks who are anxious to bring about the apocalypse, to bring about destruction, because they believe it will signal the return of the Mahdi. That's the goal of this extremist Shia sect that has run Iran for the better part of 50 years. That is what they're all about. They're not looking to live in peace with anybody, including their own people. Their stated goal, and the goal upon which they've been active for decades, is to simply bring about the end of the world. We sometimes lose sight of that. You know why? I think because we have such powerful secular humanistic tendencies in the United States. How many people are people of faith to the point that they really do believe what they read, say, oh, I don't know, in the Bible? Because there are a lot of people who give you the, well, I, you know, kind of, sort of. And if you are dealing with the folks who are in the leadership ranks in Iran, they believe every single letter that is in the Quran. So it's just something to bear in mind. There's a very, very, very different view of the world. And you and I are not necessarily well served if we don't understand that. So I wanted to share it with you. That's all. Just thought you should be aware of that. Now, having said all of that, again, we will deal with all of that, but we'll also deal with what I think is a very, very important race, and it happens tomorrow. Now, you know, the city of Richmond, it's the Democrat Party primary, but it will be the choice for the sheriff in the city of Richmond. There's no Republican running. How it's possible for the Republican Party in the city of Richmond not to have a candidate is beyond me, but it is what it is. And so we will have both the incumbent sheriff and her challenger. Sheriff Irving at 3:35, Colonel Burnett at 5:35. Want to remind you very, very, very quickly, the James River Air text line is always available to you. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. And I got a weird question for you. I'm just going to throw out there, because yesterday was Father's Day, obviously. Last week, I think Rich said, you know, it's the best piece of advice you got from your father. And I said, don't be stupid. That was my father's advice, because it governs everything. Huh, I'm thinking about holding up a liquor store. Don't be stupid. Okay, move along with your life. You know, I am thinking about consuming an entire bottle of rum. Don't be stupid. Right? I'm thinking seriously about using controlled substance. Don't be stupid. I'm thinking about whatever it is. If the phrase don't be stupid comes into play, I'm telling you, it's the best advice ever, and that was my dad's advice. But yesterday being Father's Day, I was thinking about this. Got my little Father's Day cards from Heidi and from, you know, the boys and Julia and the whole gang. But my question to you is this. Are you a better husband or a better father? Same thing for the women. Are you a better wife or are you a better mother? Give yourself a grade. Give your spouse a grade. So I looked at this because a couple of these cards were like, oh, the greatest dad in history, right? And I think that was one of the cards. And I thought, no, not even close. I thought, if I had to give myself a grade as a husband, I would say a solid A minus, right? Because nobody's perfect. But I would give you an A minus, or I would take an A minus as a husband. As a father, I'm thinking C at best. Now, here's the weird part, or the interesting part, or the strange part, or whatever part you wanted to use to describe it. Heidi, total opposite. A plus as a wife, right? Nope. A plus as a mother, for sure. Hits it out of the park every single day of the week, 24/7. As a wife, I flipped it. I put her at a C. Ah! Yeah, it's true. Now, you can't give yourself an A in both categories, and you can't give your spouse an A in both categories. And I want you to be brutally honest, but which are you? Are you better at being the husband or the father? Are you better at being a wife or a mother? So shoot me a note. Doesn't have to be long, just to be honest with me. 833-804-1140, the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRV. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. Yeah, what can I tell you? It is. It's Monday. Sheriff Antoinette Irving of the city of Richmond is going to be with us in a few moments. First time, as I said, in years that she has appeared on this show. She is asking the people in the city to reelect her for a third term. Okay, why? What are the accomplishments? What are the difficulties? What are the challenges? William Burnett, Colonel Burnett, will be with us at 5:35. He says, hey, sheriff's office in the city of Richmond is an absolute abomination, and it desperately, desperately needs new leadership. Tony Pham was with us, I don't know, a week or so ago. Tony said the same thing. Now, Tony, as you may or may not recall, Tony had served inside the Richmond City Sheriff's Office for a long time, and he said that he agrees. Thinks that the Richmond City Sheriff's Office is just an appalling place at this point. Desperately needs new leadership. Anyway, we'll chat about it, because remember, either Antoinette Irving or William Burnett will be the sheriff in the city of Richmond, and we'll chat with both of them today. There is, I found this very, very interesting over the weekend, this political poll across Virginia. Remember how we were told that Abigail Spanberger had this blowout lead over Winsome Sears? Apparently it's 3 points. I got news for you. 3 points this far away from the election? Yeah, that's hardly a blowout, but we'll deal with it. 540 and in RBA says, hello, Jeff. I've been waiting all weekend for your chat with Dr. Irving. She needs to be held accountable. Okay. 804 says, Jeff, both the Old and New Testament predict Israel's rebirth as a nation. Evangelicals are breaking with Tucker and Bannon on this. Fair enough. We'll talk about all of it as we head through the next couple of moments. 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon, and I don't know how to tell you this. We're only at around 72, 73 degrees. Now, I know the humidity definitely kicking up a bit, but compared to where we were last week into the 90s, it's not terrible. You can expect that to kind of be with us for the next couple of days. We've got coming up at 4:35, because it is a Monday, Carl Carlson joins us. Yeah, Carlson Financial. Carl, talk a little bit about where the markets are and where you need to be and things of that sort. William Burnett, who had served as Lieutenant Colonel when C.T. Woody was the sheriff in the city of Richmond, will join us. He says it is time for the sheriff's office in the city of Richmond to have new leadership. Antoinette Irving is the sheriff in the city of Richmond, and I would dare say she probably disagrees with that, and she is joining us. Sheriff Irving, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, sir. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you making time for us. It's been far too long. You are going to the people in the city of Richmond and saying, hey, I've been sheriff for the last 8 years. I can continue to do the job. You need to reelect me. What's your case to them as to why you should be reelected?
Well, we've been working really hard over here, working to help solve our crime problems in our area from the inside out, trying to ensure that the individuals that are here, that reside here, that they can go back out into the community and be a productive part of what's going on, be good family members, good community members, and be a part of the economic development. As you know, what we do over here at the Sheriff's Office is we look out for the life, health, safety, and custody of individuals that are incarcerated in our jail. And also what we do is we make sure that individuals are safe and secure in our courthouses. We transport individuals to hospitals, to institutions, mental institutions, as well as back and forth to other places for court. And also we serve civil documents. We do outreach over here. We're really working hard to ensure that we have a good rapport with the community, as well as other agencies within our area that can help us in the duties that we actually perform. I've been doing this now for 7.5 years, finishing out this year will be 8. And I've been in this business since 1988, working really hard to ensure that I'm serving the people and giving the people what it is that they deserve for a service.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. I want to talk about the very first thing that that you mentioned there, Sheriff, and that was keeping the inmates safe and healthy and secure. And it sure seems as if the Richmond City Sheriff's Office has a very difficult time doing that.
Well, we're not alone in that field. Most agencies are having some of the same issues. Issues have really arisen more after COVID and the George Floyd incident. The addictions that go on outside of the facility in our communities, if you look at the rate of substance misuse and the diagnosis for alcoholism, has gone up tremendously in the city of Richmond, and it's gone up tremendously in the state of Virginia. We have we're over two-thirds or three-fourths of our population that are here for nonviolent offenses, and most of the individuals here have some type of medical conditions that we work hard with our provider to ensure that we can keep them well, keep them healthy. The fortunate thing is we have a lot of hospitals in this area, and the hospitals assist with that is trying to get them treatment as soon as we possibly can.
But Sheriff, you and I both know that while there's certainly an issue with substance abuse, substance misuse, alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever it is, I mean, nobody is arguing that. But the reality is that even though there are great hospitals in the area, you shouldn't be in a situation, the Richmond City Sheriff's Office should not be in a situation where you're taking people to the hospital. You ought to somehow, some way be safeguarding the city jail from the importation of drugs, in particular fentanyl. And it does not seem as if that is being done. We've got multiple deaths down there as a result of this, do we not?
Yeah, I can't specifically say that's what they may have been. However,
I can. I don't mean to cut you off because I want to give you.
You can say exactly what it is that you want to say, and I'm not going to tell you not to. But if you let me answer, I can.
But you just said you can't say that that's how somebody died. The case of Stephen Carey, as an example, died from a fentanyl overdose in January 2023. So that's all I'm going to say. And please, yes, answer, please.
Okay. And in all institutions, we're all battling the crisis of individuals, of things getting into the facility. And we work really hard every day to ensure that stuff does not get into the facility. And it gets in a lot of facilities. And we're not making any excuses for them getting in the facility. And they've gotten into this facility prior to me coming in. Yes, we have had several deaths here, but we've had nowhere near the amount of deaths that have happened in this facility prior to us being here. But what we're working on is we're trying to work on the mindset of individuals and to try to assist them with what it is that they're going through with their addiction. And that's where it starts. To try to keep people healthy, it's about mindset and what information are you providing with them? What counseling are you providing to individuals? We put in many security factors to try to assist in keeping things out of the building. We work with the police departments, not just Richmond, but Chesterfield, Hanover, Henrico, the state police. We work with them to do searches with their K-9 unit. We've bought TSA-type machines to ensure that everybody's being searched. Coming in and out of the building through x-ray machines. We have devices that we use to search walls and windows and cracks and crevices to see exactly what it is that's going on. Not saying that things don't get by, and they get by wherever it is. And we're not making any excuses for that by no means. But what we are doing is enhancing the security measures here. They weren't at their best when I arrived here, so we're making sure that we can. We have people that have made many attempts to jump on the building, come through the building, fly drones in the building. So we've had all of those things to happen, and we're working diligently every day to ensure our staff members get searched, I get searched. Uh-huh. Of course, there are some types of searches that we can't do to individuals unless we, you know, have warrants to do those. But we are searching individuals that come in, that work here, that facilitate programs here, our vendors, as well as our staff members. We search out inmates. We do shakedowns. We're doing all of those things. As far as ever getting drugs out of a facility, we're working hard to eliminate that period. But I've been in this business for a long time, and that's an ongoing issue that everyone has had to battle, and we're going to continue to battle that until we win that fight.
Okay. Now, you just told us, you've told us a couple of times now, you're trying not to make excuses. And I must tell you, in all candor, and let me remind everybody, Sheriff Antoinette Irving from the city of Richmond is joining us. It sounds like a huge amount of excuse making. What you've said is, look, they've got problems over there and their problems over there and everybody has problems. And before I got here and we're trying to do this. But again, you've been there for almost 8 years. And when you took...
Absolutely.
Okay, but when you took over, you got essentially a brand new state-of-the-art facility. And the things that you've mentioned, again, with all due respect, there's nothing out of the ordinary there, right? This goes on in correctional facilities everywhere, every single day. But we're not...
And I'm glad you mentioned it.
No, but let me finish, please, because I'm not so sure you'll be happy at the end of this. But what we do not hear are the deaths, again, attributed to fentanyl coming from the Henrico County lockup, your old location, from the Chesterfield County Jail, from Pamunkey Regional Jail. They all seem to be centered there at the Richmond City Jail. And I must tell you, for those of us who are concerned, not just about the law enforcement personnel, but with those individuals who are there as inmates, I don't care whether they've done something good, bad, or indifferent. They deserve to be protected. They deserve to be protected from other inmates. And it just seems as if every single day the sheriff's office in the city of Richmond is not quite getting it done.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Mr. Katz. The city of Richmond sheriff's office gets more publicity than any other agency. And I can tell you that every agency is having, and I'm not making an excuse. It's just you don't hear about those agencies because I talk to those agencies and I know what goes on in their buildings. Maybe you all don't, but I do. And we continue to fight that fight. And it's not as if I want anybody to be ill, injured, or die. So I'm not sure why you're trying to put it that way, but that's not our intention. We're doing things every day to eliminate those possibilities. And if you want to call those excuses, then you can call them whatever you want to call them. But what I'm saying to you, sir, is we're putting the measures in place, and we're searching staff every day. We're searching the buildings and the facilities. And we're continuing to do that, and we're going to continue to do that. And that's going to be whether whomever is in this building, leading this building, that it's there have to be searches done, searches of vehicles, searches of lockers, searches of cars, searches of all the surrounding areas. That's what's going to have to happen, and that's what we're doing. We are doing the searches, and we're working really diligently to minimize any possibilities of things happening. We are working to do that, and that's a goal of ours. And I know that the citizens are concerned about it, the family members are concerned about it, I'm concerned about it. Mm-hmm. And we're continuing to work to ensure that we can eliminate them as best we possibly can and go from there, and that's what we're doing.
Well, let's talk.
We have a medicated assistant treatment program that goes on here, where individuals are actually receiving some type of medication to assist them with their cravings for the drug product itself. So we are working to help them to understand what that's all about and how that can assist them with the counseling and the treatment and understanding what the drug does. But we're continuing to work on what those cravings look like. So your next question, sir? I didn't mean to cut you off, but...
No, that's okay. I will tell you that I am thrilled that there is some antecedent management being practiced here, that there is an outreach to those inmates saying, hey, we do understand that there are addiction issues and they have to be addressed. I agree with you on that front 110%. What I'm saying is here on the back end, where the Richmond City Jail, under your leadership, is continuing with oversight, is it not having a problem with the Board of Local and Regional Jails? Is that still in place?
We are being monitored by them, as other facilities are as well. We are being monitored by them, and we have individuals that are continuously trying to bring items in however they need to bring them in. We have inmates that are, you know, that attempt to bring things in through their body. We have
every institution has that. This is my point, ma'am.
Every institution has that. It's just if you don't hear about the deaths that happen at other institutions, you only hear about ours.
Yeah, but you're
unfortunate.
Well, yeah, but you are running for sheriff in the city of Richmond, and so we're talking to the residents of the city of Richmond. I don't know of another jail in our area that is under one of those supervision requirements. Do you?
Well, yes, they are, and you can get that information from them. They are, but ours is the one that is spoken about the most, and I don't have a problem with that. We should be held accountable for what's going on, and everybody's being held accountable. But as I say to you now, Mr. Katz, and I've spoken to you before about things in the city of Richmond, we get a lot of attention to what it is that goes on, and we're not going to make any excuses for that. We're going to do the job that the people have put us in place to do, and that's what we're going to do.
But even the Public Safety Committee for the Richmond City Council is, to put it mildly, not happy with the operation of the city jail. They're concerned about the settlements that you have entered into. And one of the major problems, certainly during the past 8 years, has been this terrible, terrible understaffing. Now, I heard you last week say, hey, we're giving folks T-shirts and socks so that they'll be able to take the job. What is going to be necessary for you to actually get yourself to somewhere near legit staffing? You're still, what, more than 100 deputies down?
Well, we are, and I'm glad that the only thing you took out of that was an undershirt and a pair of underwear and socks that somebody was getting to come here. We're looking at competitive pay. And again, you're looking at our staffing, and there's no reason for us to talk about other people's staffing, but this is an issue that everybody has been having since the COVID crisis and George Floyd. And our staffing is increasing, and we are managing that. We're doing a lot of advertising and recruitment. We're going to schools. We're going to armies. We're going to different places. But as you know, and you may or may not know, that the sheriff's office is mainly people's first line of law enforcement that they like to go into. If they're going to the police department, DEA, FBI, Homeland Security, we're a stepping stone. And we have to make sure that we're preparing people to do that. And the one way that we have people to come in is we attract people by their salaries. We attract people by how we treat them. We attract people by selling our city and selling our neighborhoods. I'm from this area. I'm from this neighborhood. I can sell it as we sell it. You have to make sure that people are actually interested in coming to our city and then actually interested in having a career in what it is that we do, or whether it's just a place where they can start and move from there. Competitive pay was an issue when I got here. And whether people were working here previously or not, you know, they had some decisions that they needed to make. And we're really working hard to get as many people as we can. And our numbers are going up like other public safety and law enforcement agents right now, simply because people are becoming more attracted to what we do at a sheriff's office and what is being done at a police department.
It's a great observation. And you're absolutely correct about the sheriff's office and the city anyway, being a stepping stone often to other agencies. But at the same time that you're talking about increasing hiring, there is a terrible problem with attrition, it would seem to me. And it's been the same 100, 120, 130 deputies that you have been short really since the day you showed up. And the $3 and $4 million budget overruns, that's caught the attention again of the Richmond City Council and the Public Safety Committee. That's their concern amongst others. Now, you talked about maintaining some of the staffing, and let me just throw one of these stories out there, and you'll have to tell me what your sense of it is.
Me correct you. We're not over budgeted. We return money to the city every year since I've been here, so there's not an over budget on our part.
Okay. I am looking at a report here that said 2020 overtime took you over budget by north of $3 million. Is that not correct?
Well, that's a budget. That's not my total budget. My total budget is the budget that we thought we were going to have spent. But in 2020, that was during COVID. Uh-huh. So in 2020, that was during the unrest. So we spent money during the unrest and during COVID to ensure that we had staffing, because people had to be out because they were sick. They had to quarantine. During the unrest, we had protests. We had to spend funding during that period of time. We've not returned funding to the city of Richmond since I've been here. And when you talk about the funding that we have in the city, mm-hmm. our money that we get from the state pays the city. The city gets money from us, from the state, for monies that we spend when it has to do with personnel.
Okay.
But your question was what?
Well, I was getting to this one. A case of a former deputy sheriff who talks about how he was injured on the job as a result of an attack by an inmate, and was told, and you'll have to tell me if this is true. I'm not there, but I'm reading again the news accounts. This is Carrie O'Brien when she was at 8 News. He said to her, well, the sheriff said I was not allowed to prosecute and that she wouldn't have inmates prosecuted for attacks. Is that true or untrue?
That is absolutely incorrect. Okay. Absolutely incorrect. And you guys believe what you want to believe, but anytime there's an injury or anything that happens to a staff member or an inmate, that information goes to the magistrate. Mm-hmm. And if you want to take out a charge against an inmate or an inmate taking a charge out on an inmate, that is determined by the magistrate's office. That is incorrect, sir. So, you know, the information that you're getting is from somebody that's, I don't know what they're trying to tell you guys, but, and I don't want to get into all of that, but that's incorrect. We've okay. always, you know, been able to, this is what our job is, and I don't want anybody to get hurt or harmed because they're doing what their job is, sir.
Okay. Well, that fair enough. That's why I said to you, is it true or untrue? I'm not involved in it. I'm simply looking at the news report from that. Tell us, though, about, if you would, some of the settlements, because this is something that's come up from a number of Richmond residents who have reached out to me and said, look, I don't know much about the sheriff's office. I am not going to be a guest of the Richmond City Jail, so maybe I don't need to worry all that much about it. However, there seem to be a lot of settlements on these deaths in the custody of the Richmond City Sheriff. Can you address those?
Well, I'll put it this way. If there are any settlements, there's also information about not speak, you know, there's legal issues that go on with that. And that's not a conversation that I can have with you, nor that I will have on the radio. Well, and some of the information that you may be receiving is not some of the information that I'm aware of. But we can move on to the next subject.
Well, are you or are you not engaged in out-of-court settlements or some sort of settlements with families of people who have died in your custody?
We are in court cases with individuals that have put actions out, and we're in those settlements. I mean, we're in those conversations. We have conversations with individuals. We're in rulings with cases. But with all due respect, as far as any legal things, that's not a conversation that I'm going to have with you.
And when the city council members say that city money being used for those settlements, is that true or not?
The city, that it is not correct.
Okay. All right.
It is not correct.
All right. Well, fair enough.
I'm not sure which city leadership. I'm sure I do know who it is, but not that city leadership needs to check the facts to ensure that they're getting the correct information. And I appreciate that from you bringing that to my attention. I really do appreciate it, Mr. Katz. You know, I have all due respect for you. You know, I've had that conversation with you before, how much I respect you and the work that you've done. So I respect that, and I would always say that to you.
Well, fair enough. And you know, somebody had said to me, oh, you don't like the sheriff. And I thought, oh, no, I've only met you twice. And I thought we had a very, very pleasant interaction. But I am concerned as a human being for the inmates. I'm concerned as a former law enforcement officer for the deputies. You know, that's just what it is. And
right. And I understand that. That's only human. That we all have that concern for the individuals that reside here as well as those of us that work here. We want to make sure that people are safe and well, and we're working really hard over here to get those things done. And, you know, for all the things that everybody wants to talk about negative that happens over here, you know, I would love for people to come over and actually see. I invite you and the members of your station to come over and see how it is that we operate every day, so that it'll give you a better understanding of what it is that we do here, seeing what our programs look like and the proactive things that we're working on to make sure that we can have a good environment for the individuals here. Zero deaths is too many, so yep. We don't want anybody to pass away, and we don't want anybody to be extremely sick, but we have people here that we really have to monitor and we watch, and we watch our staff members. And like I said, we just have to continue to do that to ensure that we can place people in an environment that's going to be well and that's going to be safe for them. But also we have to, you know, we make sure that we put this in the responsibility of our staff to make sure that, you know, they're doing the work that needs to be done. They're trained, and we continue to work on training to put them in a position to be able to do the best job possible. We continue to work on counseling with the individuals that are here, and we would love for the family members to help us to get them into some of these counseling and work on their medical and their mental, as well as working with them as to how they can gain relationships and better build for their family members when they get out.
Okay, I've got two things before I hear your phone ringing, and I know you're busy, and some of those people are calling you to say, hey, I'm listening to you on the radio, which is an interesting thing that they're doing, and we both know that. But number one, you're talking about working with other agencies. And again, what I have is some anecdotal information. It is, I want to throw it out there and give you the chance to respond, that the sheriff's office is, to put it mildly, unfriendly towards RPD, to Richmond police officers who are trying to bring somebody in, and that there are certain agencies which will bypass the Richmond City Jail and take their prisoners elsewhere. Are you aware of those allegations?
Well, we have a positive relationship with all agencies, whether it's Richmond Police Department, Henrico, Chesterfield, the State Police, Hanover, Department of Corrections. We have a working relationship with individuals. We have a lot of people that come through these doors, and we're always working to enhance the rapport that we have with individuals. As in any conversation that people have, individuals may or may not get along, but as an agency, the chief of police and myself continue to work on how it is that we can have our workflow to be as smoothly as possible, and we have those conversations regularly. I have conversations with the officers that come in our Sally Port and ask them how is it that things are going and how is it that we can continue to improve on what it is that we can do to help them and assist them in what it is that they're doing. And we ask the same as far as for them as to how it is that we both can work together to make a smooth operation.
All right.
Some people may not think that we're in a marriage together, but we are in a working rapport with one another.
All right. Final question, because I want to be as fair as possible, Sheriff. I want you to give folks your website so that for those who have not voted early, who are going out tomorrow to vote for sheriff in the city of Richmond, how can they learn a little bit more?
They can go to my website, Urban for Sheriff, and look at what it is that we're doing and all the goals that we have. We're working hard to ensure that we can continue to keep the courthouses safe and give people an opportunity now to bring in their phones. We'll be starting that initiative the first of the month, and also making sure that building is safe as possible. I'm experienced. I'm an experienced leader. I know everybody may not like the way that things have gone. We've improved a lot. We've improved our security measures here. We've improved the morale here. We've improved the process as to how people are hired and promoted. We've been very humane to people and not abruptly placing our hands on people and having to deal with those types of things. We hold people accountable and responsible for their actions.
Right.
We want to make sure that we're serving this city as best we possibly can, and we want to continue to do that. I know some people may not see what we do as important because it's a jail, and if you don't have anybody that's impacted by that. But what we do here at this jail is we build people.
Okay.
That's what our goal is, and we work well in our community to make sure that we have community resources and community tools for individuals that can, not just inside the facility, but outside the facility, that can live the best possible life that they can.
All right, I appreciate you being here. That is Sheriff Antoinette Irving from the city of Richmond. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.